Welcome to Life Through a Dram, where Danny Brown shares his take on life, being a better person, and appreciating the here and now, all accompanied by a dram and a fine single malt whiskey. And now, here's your host, Danny Brown.
Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Life Through a Dram, where we talk about life, our place in the world, and on being better people. Today's guest is someone I've known for a long time, Susan Murphy, who's over in Ottawa, Canada's capital. So, Sue, how about you say hello and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. As Danny said, we've known each other for many, many years now, since the olden days of the internet and social media and podcasting and all of this stuff. As he said, I'm living in Ottawa currently. I've been here for almost 30 years now. In my day job, I run a digital company. A digital marketing agency, where we do all kinds of anything that you put online, basically, is what we do. And I also am a professor at Algonquin College. So that's how I spend my time, my work time. And in my personal life, I have a husband and three cats and a dog. And we have a house here in Ottawa, and we fill it up with fur and love.
That's awesome. Three cats. So I'm going to assume they get on well with the dog.
For the most part. Yeah, they all you know, it's taken a while. They're all rescues. So rescue animals come with their own set of interesting circumstances. And our dog took a little while to get to sort of warm up to the cats, but he's doing much better now. And they all get along swimmingly.
Awesome. And swimmingly is a severely underused word. It should be used more. So thanks for bringing that up.
I agree.
Now, as is the case all the time on the show, obviously I like to have a little dram of whiskey. And I'm drinking a 10-year-old Talisker today for your chat. So did you bring anything with you?
I did. And I was thinking about this because I'm not really a whiskey drinker. I hope we can still be friends.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So I am having a good old Canadian classic, a Bloody Caesar.
Oh, interesting. It's funny because I was speaking to, I think you know Kat Krieger.
Yes.
I was speaking to Kat earlier, actually, and she mentioned she was at brunch today having a couple of Bloody Marys with her friends. So it seems bloody is, seems to be the thing this weekend.
Keeps you warm on a cold day.
It does indeed. Well, cheers to your health.
Cheers. Cheers. Yay.
So I was thinking, actually, as I was thinking ahead for our call, so you're on Facebook to do that aging non-gracefully or aging gracefully meme where you put a picture up from 10 years ago and then what your profile picture looks like today.
Yeah.
And I was thinking we've known each other longer than that meme because we met at least in 2008 when you got involved with the 12 for 12K project and probably before that.
Yes, I think it was probably 2007, 2008. I got involved in social media probably around 2007 when I went to PodCamp Toronto for the first time. And I met a whole bunch of social media people who were podcasting and starting to tweet and starting to do all these neat things. And I think I met you right around that time. So it has been a lot of years that we've been doing this.
Yeah, and it's funny that I think it was actually at PodCamp we met. Because I know I went to PodCamp 2 years in a row, and then I stopped going for some reason. I just think, you know, the kids came along, it made it more difficult to get there. But it's ironic that PodCamp is obviously, you know, from the name, it's, you know, based in podcasting originally. And then 10 years later, here we are talking on a podcast.
I know. Well, podcasting has had this whole kind of resurgence, I think, in the past little while. I don't know if it ever really went away, but just in the mainstream, I think a lot more people are not just listening to podcasts, but actually starting to think, hey, maybe I can produce some content too, and maybe I have something interesting to say. And I always tell people that it doesn't matter who you are, you have something interesting to say because you have a story to tell. And you know, I think more people are catching on to that.
Now, do you think it's because the technology's got a bit easier and it's less for the geek and pretty much anybody can make a podcast now with the, you know, tools like Anchor, etc. Or
yeah, I think so. I think that has a lot to do with it. It's kind of like web design in a way, because we do a lot of web design, and it's kind of like that in a way. It's becoming more accessible to the average person. You don't have to be a computer whiz. You just have to have, you know, everybody's got a microphone on their computer. Everybody's got access to software and stuff now that makes it really easy. So I think that has a lot to do with it for sure.
And you still get to PodCamps, or are you a bit like me where you have sort of stayed away a little bit?
Yeah, I've moved away a little bit. PodCamps have kind of evolved for me to a different thing now. They're really like PodCamp Toronto, for example. No bad words for those guys that organize that, because it's a tremendous job that they do. But for me personally, I find that it's big. And there's a lot of people, and I liked it back when it was like 300 people,
right?
You know, and you knew everybody, and everybody knew you, and you know, it was that kind of real tight community feel. I don't know. I think the communities are sort of smaller now, and more sort of grouped off, and it's just business is really busy, and it's hard to get away sometimes for a weekend. So, it's one of those things I've sort of evolved away from it.
Well, that's like you mentioned, it is an investment of time as well as, financial to get there, hotels, etc.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you mentioned that you felt the communities were smaller now, like more closed off. And I'm wondering if part of that is a transference from our online where we're, over the last year, for example, with Facebook and, Cambridge Analytica, et cetera, and all the data scares, I wonder if we're moving and taking what we do privately online and making that, to our offline connections and keeping them to really small and closed groups. What's your thinking on that?
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there, because I remember there was a social media tool out a couple of years ago. It's not around anymore, called Path. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was involved in Path quite a bit because I had this really small group of people that were just like, my besties, right?
Right.
and we got in there and we would chat about our days, and we would talk about things. And now I don't know, they could have been stealing our data too, I suppose. but I think, people are moving away from this sort of broadcast everything. There's still some people that do it, but this broadcast everything kind of mentality that it is social media, and moving into more, small groups like Facebook groups and Facebook Messenger groups. I'm in a whole bunch of those, right, where it's just a closed group of people, and we just are there and we chat and we have our social interaction that way. And then, like you said, the offline connections, I think, have become stronger. I know that I'm spending a lot more time sort of seeing people in person and meeting for coffees and, that kind of thing, and enjoying it quite a bit.
And that's cool to see, because I think that was the allure of social media originally was, making the world smaller by putting you in touch with more people. But now, as you mentioned, it's kind of gone a full, 180, where it's making the world bigger because we have so many more tools now, but it's actually making the connections a lot more personal and smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really great thing. Like I said, the online, I'd say to my students all the time, I said, the online world is such a noisy place now. You go on Twitter and it's just noise all the time. And being able to connect one-on-one or one-on-three with people is a really special thing. Like I was in a Twitter chat a DM chat on Twitter the other day, and it was a bunch of podcasters, and they were just chatting about PodCamp, and there are a couple of things that were coming up, and really excited about that sort of intimate connection that you have with just a certain group of people. And I encourage people to do that. I think that you can make more valuable connections than just, what you can get by just sort of broadcasting out there and, telling everybody every aspect of your life online.
No. Well, I know some people do like to, share a little bit too much, but yeah, I hear you. Now, one of the things that I like, there's many things I like about you. That's why we've been friends for so long. But one of the things that I like about you, I know you do the three words thing that Chris Brogan started, or at least, led, back 8-10 years ago or so. And I know you do that each year. So we're in January, we're kind of in the new year now, I guess. So what were your three words this year, and why did you choose them?
My three words. Oh, you're catching me off guard here. Because I'm trying to remember them now.
Oh, okay. I was for a moment, I was thinking, oh my grief, she's not actually done three words this year, and I was just asking a stupid question.
No, it's not a stupid question. It's just I have a stupid answer right now, which is that I can't remember what my three words are right off the top of my head.
Oh, not a problem. I'll put it in the show notes afterwards.
put it in the show notes. Please do. So the goal of the three words assignment is to actually remember your three words and use them, which I do. But like I said, they've just escaped me right now. So
yeah. Now, have you found them useful in the past, you know, when you've obviously set yourself three goals for the year ahead or what you want to do, say, what's some of the changes that you've maybe noticed about yourself based on, you know, either three-word goals or where you were 10 years ago to where you are, you know, today?
Well, I think one of the biggest words, and actually it's interesting because I'll go back to a word that I had a couple of years ago that really... really made a difference for me, and that was simplify. And everybody's talking about minimalism now, and everybody's talking about, you know, paring down and Marie Kondo and all that stuff, right? But I use the word simplify because I'm subject to anxiety. I have an anxiety disorder, and I find that if I don't sit back and simplify the things around me, or the way I approach life, the way I approach work, the way I approach everything, that it really hinders me because my brain gets overwhelmed. It's automatically programmed to get overwhelmed with too much stuff, right? So I find the word simplify is one of those words that I just use to remind myself that nothing has to be complicated, nothing has to be overwhelming if you don't let it be. Right? Because you have a control, you have the control over how you react to the situations in your life. And if you allow yourself to get overwhelmed, then you know, nothing will go right because your brain will just be full and you won't be able to actively solve any of the problems you might be having. But if you simplify, and that means simplifying your thoughts, simplifying your words, you know, simplifying, you know, if it's cleaning up clutter in your house or in your, at your desk or wherever, it's just bringing it down to its essence. And I think that that's a really important lesson that I've learned over the past couple of years. And it's something that I try to emulate to other people too.
No, I know you've been very open, you know, with your, you know, anxiety and dealing with it or living with it. And I know, like, I was speaking to Kat, I mentioned earlier, our son, Ewan, he suffers from anxiety. Now, thankfully his mother also, you know, has anxiety, so she can help him understand, you know, what the feelings are as a kid, because you don't know what they are, you know. As an adult, like you mentioned, you have more clarity, you can sort of work out what, you know, what's happening and how to deal with it, but as a kid maybe it's a little bit more difficult. So it's interesting watching, you know, Jacqueline, you know, work with you and explain what's going on and his emotions, etc. Which is, I couldn't, you know, hope to understand what, you know, what anxiety is like. But it's interesting to watch my wife, you know, and how she deals with her own as well as helping you and through his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so important to have people around you that understand and not, you know what, you don't have to have anxiety to understand what people are, to be understanding and to be supportive of somebody who has a mental illness. You don't have to go through it yourself. I have a wonderful support network, you know, between my husband and my business partner / best friend and my other good friends. Some of them go through these things, some of them don't. But it is important to have that support network around you. And just people that understand that sometimes you're going to have a crappy week or a crappy day or a crappy hour, and that it's okay, you know, and that it does get better, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you find that obviously you're surrounded by animals? You've got the three cats and a dog. Do you find they have a calming or a soothing influence, or is that even the right phrase?
Most of the time,
when they're not like tearing around the house after each other.
No, it is, you know, I love animals. They're, you know, one of the things that I couldn't imagine my life without animals in it. And they do calm me down. If I've had a rough day, I get home from work, you know, it's been a long day, I'm tired, you know, they're entertaining, they're affectionate. You know, they seem to know when you're not feeling well, like especially my dog, for some reason, he is very sensitive to my emotions. And, you know, if he sees if I'm having a panic attack or something like that, like he'll come around and just sort of be around me. And, you know, I find that that's really helpful and nice to have that experience with animals.
No, I think that's maybe, I mean, we've had cats before, but Jax is allergic, so we couldn't have the cats anymore. And we had friends that, you know, helped us there. But certainly with the dogs, I think there's something, as you mentioned, have you seen the movie A Dog's Life?
I haven't.
No, I think...
Believe it or not.
No, it's... Was it A Dog's Life? I think it's A Dog's Life.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's a really well-made movie. But it showed how this dog went through various, you know, lives of a different dog. But each time it was all about the relationship between, you know, the person he was with at that time. So I think there is definitely something there that dogs have that sixth sense or whatever that can really attune to, you know, emotions around them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that all animals have a bit of the sixth sense, but dogs are so responsive to humans. Like cats are a little more aloof, right? And they are a lot more aloof sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe they won't always be around you. Like a couple of our cats are not lap cats at all. Like they don't want to jump on you and stuff like that. One of our cats is, right? So they all have such different personalities in that way. But at the same time, you know, they all have their own little traits that they show you that they love you, you know, with their little habits or their little things that they do. So it's really cute.
Now, and you'd mentioned all of them are from shelter. They're all shelter animals.
Yeah.
Yep. Was that a deliberate? I mean, I'm guessing it was a deliberate. That's probably a silly question. But was that a deliberate thing when you were looking for animals to, you know, bring into the home, that it was always going to be shelter adoptions as opposed to, say, a breeder or, you know, somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm a rescue freak. So,
right.
I've volunteered with rescues. I've volunteered as a transportation driver for a rescue organization for dog rescues. And, I've volunteered for cat rescue. And, it's just one of those things that we've always done. When I was growing up, our animals were always rescues as well. And, you know, I just think, like, for me personally, there's so many animals out there that need homes that, you know, I just want to be able to have the opportunity to give an animal, you know, some a chance,
right,
at life, a chance at a good life. And they didn't all of our animals didn't come from shelters specifically. One of them was found on the side of the road. One of them was found under my friend's porch.
Okay.
So, you know, and the other two came from shelters, but or from a, one came from a rescue and one came from a shelter. And it's, you know, so they all have their own stories and of survival. And I'm just glad that they're with us and they're warm and they're safe and they get to have a good life.
No, and I know our local pet store has a regular shelter. I think it's every 2 months by and have a regular shelter, you know. Not sponsorship, but it's basically helping, you know, shelter animals find new homes. And it's good to, what they try and do is they try and get older animals as well, you know, try to put the focus on older animals that normally, you know, for no other reason that, you know, kittens and puppies are cuter, but they try to put more focus on adopting the older animals, which is really good to see, because often they're the ones that get bypassed at these adoption events, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had an older dog. We had got him when he was 6 months old, but we had him till he was almost 14. He was a lab, and we lost him in July. But you know, senior dogs are just a different breed.
Right.
No pun intended. But they just have so much to give people when they get older, and they might not be able to move around as much, and they might not be able to play as much and stuff, but they still have that soul that really warms your house, warms your heart. And it's a special thing for sure.
No, and it kind of reminds me of grandparents. I think that's why people love grandparents so much, because they're older, you know, they've got through their life doing what they want. Now they can do what they want. So it's, you know, that gets reflected back in how, you know, kids like grandparents, because they let them get away with murder, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, grandparents are there to spoil you, right?
Exactly.
Is that their job? So
yeah, make the parents look bad and evil, and you know, the harbinger of dooms.
Yeah, and aunts are like that too. See, I don't have any children of my own, so but I'm an aunt to many children who are blood related and not blood related, because that doesn't matter to me. But I'm an aunt to many children, and my job is also to spoil them and you know, do things that their parents wouldn't allow them to do. So
you're the one.
I'm the one.
Awesome. Well, Sue, that's this has been like a real enjoyable chat. You know, it's like I say, these podcasts are just really, you know, off the cuff, just talking about life, I guess. If people were looking to find you online, where can they find you?
Well, in the famous words of my friend Mitch Joel, Google me. yeah, you can Google me. I'm usually hanging around on Twitter quite a bit at Sue's Muse. I blog infrequently at suesmuse.com, but I haven't blogged in a while, so you can look at my old posts if you want. You know, you can catch me occasionally hanging around on Facebook and Instagram and all those places as well. And like I said, Google is the easiest way to find me, though.
Perfect. And I'll drop the links that you want into the show notes.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Okay, well, as I said, I've been really enjoying these chats. And again, today was no different, especially when it's with a friend that, you know, we've known each other for so long. It'll be interesting to like revisit this in 10 years' time and see what we're doing.
Yeah, for sure.
Hopefully, I'll be getting close to retirement then, but we'll see.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine.
Alrighty, so guys, this has been Life Through a Dram. I hope you're enjoying these chats. And obviously, we'll have another guest next week. In the meantime, Shlán Shivar.
This has been Life Through a Dram. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.